Money FM 89.3, the best of the breakfast huddle. The bigger picture, only on Money FM 89.3.
Money FM 89.3, it's the breakfast huddle. I'm Elliot Danker. It's now time for the bigger picture with Willie King. A strong start to the week where markets are concerned. A bit of a rally. All hope and history also kind of on our side because historically markets do perform well ahead of midterm elections. Although, well, different situation right now. What are you observing? I know one of the things you're looking at is the 10-year yield.
Yep, so the 10-year US Treasury yield is a good indicator of whether the economy could actually plunge into a recession. Usually, they take the 10 years minus the 2 years to actually note whether there's an inverted yield curve. So yeah. The 10-year US Treasury notes yield tightened to around 3.65%. So that came off from the 4% briefly at one point last week. Also, you know, you look at semiconductor stocks, which led to the Monday's broad rally. And energy stocks were also up about 4% as media reports that OPEC are mulling output cuts by more than a million barrels per day of ahead of tomorrow's meeting.
So, good sentiment in the lead up to what we saw, although there's still much to be observed here.
Yeah, so let's not jinx it. Yep, so the market rally was also driven by economic reports showing manufacturing activity which slips into the contraction. So this sort of stoked optimism. And I would like to talk about more about going into energy and China. So I'm going to rope in Azim Sharif, markets analyst of CMC Markets, APAC and Canada. A very good morning, Azim. How are you, mate?
Good morning. Very good, mate. How are you?
Yep, I'm great. Is it 3 hours time difference now in Sydney or is it 2 hours?
Yeah, no, you're right. So we had our daylight savings start on Sunday, so we moved ahead 1 more hour. So the time difference is 3 hours ahead of Singapore.
Ah, great. Okay, good. That's good. So you're up. It's sort of later part in the morning, I guess.
Always, nice and early.
All right. So I just want to quickly talk about the OPEC meeting tomorrow. I mean, we have seen how oil prices have come off since earlier this year, but it also have sort of jumped when OPEC announced that they're looking to actually cut their production. So what are your views on this, Azim?
Yeah, and look, Willie, it's a very good point that you made. So, you know, as you said, the OPEC, basically, they're going to be doing it's more like an emergency meeting. And the most interesting part about this meeting is they've been holding it online for the last 2 years. This is the first one that they're actually going to meet in person. So anything that you meet in person has to be quite an important meeting. So as you mentioned, you know, it talks about the $1 million barrel cut from OPEC production. So they're expecting to do that on Wednesday. And look, this is nothing new. They've been saying this for a while in terms of how much they are looking to cut in the future, but it looks like it's just a bit more concrete now. As soon as they made that announcement, Willie, you mentioned, rightly so, oil futures basically jumped. I think it was around 2-3% as soon as the announcement was made. Obviously, you know, the price is going to go up because the expectation is supply is going to cut. Demand goes up, price goes up. In my personal view, I feel that the reason why OPEC are doing this is they want to put a floor on oil prices, probably around that $80 mark, so that way oil doesn't go below. Now, obviously, the reason why they're doing that is because there's all this talk about, you know, global recession and then what's going to happen with oil price and supply, demand. I mean, the oil situation's been going on for, you know, months now. So I think this is where OPEC sort of intervene and say, look, we're going to cap the supply at a certain level because we don't anticipate there to be a high demand for it. You know, if there is demand destruction or whatever happens, you know, with the whole recession coming about, or it's a bit of a funny situation. So that's the reason why they put this cap on, or a floor, sorry, at probably around that $80 mark. So we'll basically have to see what happens. But it's a bit of a funny situation because as we go into the future, you know, again, supply is cut, demand will go higher, the prices will stay elevated. But then again, that whole thematic around demand destruction, if the price goes too high, then demand will start to reduce and the price will start to come down. So there may be that up and down fluctuation that we will probably be seeing from oil in the near future.
Yeah, I mean, people are also saying that this could actually mimic what it was in the 1970s when there was an oil embargo which pushed oil prices higher. And oil prices jumped would sometimes not be a good thing for, you know, aircraft sectors, for example. Moving on.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So going out from oil into China, which has been pretty quiet, and, you know, we are looking at the golden week this week. Recently, China banks came out, you know, saying that they are providing at least $85 billion to the property sector. Mm-hmm. Quick view on this. Is the worst in China property behind us?
Yeah, look, I think it's fair to say the worst is probably behind. You know, I would probably say that worst period was anywhere from the start of this year to probably, you know, 1 or 2 months ago. You know, they've been talking, I mean, the Chinese government have been talking about intervening and supporting the property sector, especially after all the rules and regulations they came out with that really tarnished the whole property sector, and a lot of developments quickly, you know, went unfinished. And I think there was a crazy number, like something 80% of projects were unfinished. As you know, the whole crisis, property crisis happened, Evergrande, blah, 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 nothing new there. But that obviously had flow-on effects to the rest of the economy, even the rest of the world. You know, even talking from an Australian standpoint, it's really dampening our exports because, as you know, Australia are a huge exporter of iron ore and, you know, where they use it steel and infrastructure for property. So it's having a flow-on effect. But I think this $85 billion, I guess, promise or this funding to the property sector is going to significantly boost it and probably bring it back to where it needs to be. Because, again, China's huge in construction and development. So if they start to kick that off, that'll slowly bring in the rest of the world in terms of, you know, trade as well, as I mentioned, with Australia. So I think the worst is behind us. I would probably look at it from a positive point of view. Mm-hmm. And I think it is going to get a bit better. I guess the only risk is, as everyone talks about, is the zero COVID policy. You know, what's going to happen with that? How strict are they going to be with that? You know, is COVID still going to be elevated in those key regions? That's the most uncertain part of China's economy at this stage, and there needs to be something done about it, or at least give us a bit more certainty. But from a property standpoint, I think this is definitely a great kickstart to China's economy.
And of course, the Chinese property market has also one of the biggest market in US dollars borrowing. Just a quick question here, you know, looking at currencies, you know, the dollar is ever rising. Question is, how much more do you think the dollar can go up?
Yeah, so look, it's a really good question. I guess the short answer is there's still a lot more room to go. The risk is to the upside, to put it bluntly. You know, there's the two key reasons why the US dollar goes up. It's the number one is interest rate, right? That drives almost everything. When there's a higher interest rate, there's a higher interest rate differential between two economies, and that drives the bond yields up. And when there's higher bond yields, that makes investment a lot more attractive for the U.S. economy. So people want to, you know, investors globally, they want to take their money from all the assets they have in their own economy and they want to pump and dump it into the U.S. economy because there's a higher return on investment. So what that means is that there's more capital inflow into the U.S. and that is what is driving the U.S. economy or U.S. strength at this stage, and that's giving it that safe haven status. You know, everyone wants to have a piece of the US dollar pie. But how high can it go? I mean, you know, if we look at the DXY chart, which is the dollar strength index, it reached a key technical level around 114, 114 and a half. We're seeing that come off a little bit now, you know, for obvious reasons. There's a lot of interventions happening with other economies. And the reason why this is important is because it's on a steam train at the moment, Willie, and we don't know how high or how quickly it can go. It is overbought at this stage if we look at it from a technical indicator standpoint. So we may see a little bit of a relief to the downside again, and obviously that'll take pressure off a lot of emerging markets as well. And, you know, but again, we could see dollar still strengthen, but I still think in the short term, we may see a pullback a little bit, gain a bit more strength before it continues its uptrend. So that's probably what we're likely to see, but it still has a long way to go, even up until mid to end of next year.
Yeah, I mean, this is a sort of a flight to capital to the world's biggest reserve currency. So there could be a pullback on the dollar. So thank you very much, Azim, for getting on the show with us. This is Azim Sharif, Markets Analyst of CMC Markets APAC and Canada. Thank you so much, Azim, for coming on to the show this morning.
Thanks for having me, mate. Have a good one.
Yep, you too.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.